It just keeps getting better. I'm talking about fantasy5x5.com, fantasy5x5.com, the official analytics partner of Lineup Logic DFS podcast. Guys, I can't emphasize this enough. The tools keep growing. The utility keeps growing. It is the best value in DFS. You have to get on board with us and fantasy5x5.com. We continue to develop our tools. They continue to develop their tools. Just for example, okay, so we have advanced DVP on Fantasy 5x5, which breaks things down categorically, but also then sorts them based on the best individual positional player matchups that you have seen, okay, and the trend that's going on there in the last 10 and 40 games. So you're not getting irrelevant data that's generalized just team by team by team like you can find any DVP data. You're getting trend-related data that is useful and describes what's recently happening. There's no better way to track what's affecting, how tanking is affecting teams, how the crazy amount of injuries is affecting teams. You have to stay up to date with these individual little pieces of detail. Only Fantasy 5x5 can help you do that. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get involved. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate. Upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings, we are looking at a six-gamer tonight. Nice little six-gamer. Should be a good one. I'm sorry. Is it six-gamer or is it eight games? Yeah, it's six games. Sorry. You guys know I'm not good at counting. Hey, listen, I'm sorry I wasn't around yesterday, all right? Went out of town with the family, visited my sister, and her fiance. Had to fly, get the toddlers, you know, get the knuckleheads back home yesterday, and just not a lot of room in your day to do any research on DFS when you are really worried about making sure that Transformers is downloaded on the iPad for your three-year-old. There's priorities, guys. If you've ever flown with toddlers, you need to make sure that the snacks and the shows are ready to go. So that was my day yesterday. Needless to say, I was very excited to get home. But we're back at it, man. We're back at it. So first, we have to say thank you. We got a couple new patrons over there, patreon.com. Welcome aboard. Guys, sorry if you were trying to get in touch with me yesterday. Obviously, in the traveling, I was not able to be near a computer or be interacting with Patreon. So I do apologize for that, no doubt about it. But welcome, Alex, Corey, and Michael. Stefan, welcome back. Jeremy jumped in there as well. So welcome to you guys. Happy to have you on board, of course, for the stretch run here at NBA. Of NBA season, and it feels weird. Like, honestly, it feels like my brain is having to switch gears after watching just pouring through as much March Madness as I could possibly handle in the last 4 days. Now I'm, you know, back into the stretch run of NBA. I feel like I'm switching languages here, thinking about the playoff races and everything like that. So definitely some relevant games tonight as far as those playoff races are concerned. We're going to have to pay close attention to the Clippers Wolves game. That's going to be interesting. Houston, Portland, how bulletproof is Houston? Is Portland's 13-game win streak going to stay alive, or will it stop here against the Rockets and this juggernaut offense? Of course, all the storylines, we'll be reporting on those. No, we're not. We're going to just talk about how you can comfortably spend your money on fantasy sports. So we'll go through game by game. We'll talk through everything. We'll talk through the injuries. I feel like, honestly, the injuries are bananas these days. You literally are checking, you know, your phone every every 3 hours for someone new to be out. It's been crazy how many different little injuries here and there there are. We'll go game by game. We'll go through the injuries. We'll go through Vegas. Then we'll go into the player breakdown, of course, as you like it, sir. As you like it. And that'll be it. And we'll get back after it on Wednesday. So let's go ahead and jump straight in. All right. Listen, well, the first game of the night, Toronto at Orlando, not actually on the slate for FanDuel. And I don't believe it is on the DraftKings slate either. Oh, no, it is. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why it's not on the slate for FanDuel. It is on the DraftKings slate. You know, it's hard to love a lot of the spots in this game, but it's, you know, there are some spots. There are definitely some spots. So we'll talk about a couple of different players in this game. But yeah, I'm not really sure why it is that FanDuel didn't include it. But it's not on the FanDuel main slate. I don't know. They keep doing this. They keep changing, you know, what they have available. I don't know if they necessarily feel like it's advantageous to players because the potential for late scratches. But yeah, 6-game slate on FanDuel and a 7-game slate on DraftKings. So something to, you know, complain about, I guess, is primarily what Twitter will do. right? Because that's what people do on Twitter. Complain. Well, not all the time. They also, you know, there's a lot of things that happen on Twitter, you know? Bots, for example, they happen on Twitter. Love, 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 love finding bots. One of my favorite pastimes. Oh, there's one. Ah, there's one. All right, let's go. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this game. Let's not talk about the bots. Toronto at Orlando. Obviously, Toronto favored here in a serious way. And I'm not seeing the total. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened here. Okay. Yeah. Toronto favored by 10 on the road. That is a 214 total. We have, you know, no serious injuries on the Toronto side. Fred VanVleet, probably not going to play, which means that the majority of those backup minutes are going to go to DeLon Wright. Now, he was already playing quite a bit, but in the last two games, Dallas and OKC, he's played well over 30 minutes. DeLon Wright, 100% in play. Absolutely interesting. A guy that you may want to consider here in this situation. Of course, you know, Lowry and DeRozan are interesting, but their offensive load has kind of ebbed and flowed or waned, waxed and waned, if we want to use the lunar terms, with Jonas Valanciunas' performance. And he's been excellent of late. So, you know, plenty to think about on the Toronto side of things. But I don't necessarily know that with the way that slate breaks out, unless you're attacking the bench, which is viable. I mean, you can definitely attack the bench with a spread like this, whether or not you want to do that. Now, on the Orlando side of things, we have a Jonathan Simmons. He is questionable tonight with a wrist injury. If he does not go, I think you would probably see a little bit more run for Mario Hezonja. But I don't necessarily need Mario Hezonja against a good Toronto defense. Not that interested in it. Aaron Gordon did not return to action yet, but he is I think probable. Okay, yeah, he is cleared to return. So yes, he is cleared to return. I know there was an issue on that Boston game, and they were trying to get him cleared, and they just couldn't get him cleared by the doctors, which. Again, proof positive that the NBA takes concussions more seriously than the NFL. But Aaron Gordon returning should be an interesting one. Again, do I need him? No, it's not a good spot at the four. It's just hard to trust the Magic rotation with the way it's changing, who gets the usage, what happens there. I don't know. So I think I go to the Toronto side and specifically to the Toronto bench in this situation if I want exposure. Dallas at New Orleans. And as far as injuries and weird rotations goes, Dallas is king right now. Dennis Smith Jr. just went down with an ankle. So J.J. Barea and Yogi Ferrell will take the point guard position. Now, Barea has been intensely efficient in his 20 to 24 minutes. Yogi Ferrell getting more run, taking more shots, more usage, but very inefficient. 5 of 16 just recently against Brooklyn, although he did have quite a few assists. He'll be playing quite a bit. The rest of these clowns, and I'm not using that word, you know, incorrectly here. I mean, we're talking about 20-plus minutes for the people like Dorian Finney-Smith, Kyle Collinsworth. Doug McDermott played 40 minutes against Brooklyn the other night. Harrison Barnes is going to play 40 minutes. Dirk is still in the lineup. Like, I don't know. You know, I trust Barnes. I trust Ferrell, and I trust Barea. And you have to know, you know, I mean, we know that Nerlens and Dwight are going to play in the front court, and they're really the only viable front court pieces that I would go to in this situation. But I'd much rather go to the New Orleans side of things. You know, the weird thing about New Orleans right now, I will say, is primarily that Nico's role is really, really kind of up in the air. Now, he played phenomenally in 22 minutes against Boston, 2 fantasy points per minute. His defense was really, really excellent. But his price is way, way down. And that's, you know, because he's now sharing that role, I guess, with, you know, with Emeka. I don't know if they just don't trust him or they don't like the way that he's playing or whatever the case may be, but he's down to about 24 minutes, or maybe he's, you know, maybe he just can't handle the minutes. And they're, you know, they're just kind of quietly trying to, you know, not give him too much run. This is a good spot, I think, for Jrue Holiday, strangely enough. I like this spot for Jrue. He has quietly been absurdly consistent, well over 42 fantasy points in 4 of the last 5 games. Of course, against Boston, he has a total dud, but they won that game handily. You know, 20-plus points, and he only had to play 28 minutes. So, you know, he had 43 last time out in 32 minutes against this team. So he's just quietly consistent, you know, and a guy that I think sometimes, unless the matchup is perfect, goes overlooked, but his contributions have just been phenomenal. LA at Minnesota. This one is a 225 total. This is the highest total at of the night. Minnesota favored by 3 at home. I think this is going to be one of the tighter games on the slate. Clippers rotation is, you know, just what we've expected, you know, without Danilo Gallinari. He is going to be out today as well. You know, classic, exactly what we know from this Clippers team. 20 to 24 for Milos, above 30 for Austin Rivers at the point. Lou's coming off the bench and getting 30. As far as the rest of that, you know, peripheral guard rotation, it's been a lot of Sindarius Thornwell, which I don't really have a lot of interest in. He hasn't been that productive, but, you know, kind of seems to be plugging holes. Tobias Harris, up and down. Really hard to project these days, but if you find a good spot for him, he has been well over 40 in a couple different situations. This could be a decent spot for him. Not a great spot, but I don't mind it. That's it. I mean, I think I'm going to the Minnesota side of things here, really, to be honest with you. And you know, the minutes have been concentrated. The usage has been concentrated. Andrew Wiggins, just a testament to how, like, this guy does almost nothing else besides score. If you look at how well he is shooting from the field, and how little fantasy production he has created because he does nothing else besides score. 8 of 16, 8 of 15, 7 of 14, 9 of 16. The man is shooting almost over 50% from the field as a wing. That's really very good. We know he gets to the rim easily, but that just says a lot about his judgment, his shot selection. You know, the fact that he's been that productive and he hasn't really had that many bad shooting nights, testament to his offensive talent. But God, the guy doesn't do anything else. You know, he doesn't do anything. He can't rebound the ball to save his life. He doesn't know how to distribute. That's gone to Jeff Teague, and Jeff Teague has been really, really productive. Jeff Teague is a guy that I'm very interested in. 30 points is absolutely the floor for him. And he should be in a good spot against the Clippers here. And Cat, I think Cat could and should not go overlooked here, no doubt about it. So Karl Anthony Towns, a guy that I would like to get into my lineups. Thunder at the Celtics, no total in this one. I guess we're still waiting on Celtics injury news, which has been just crazy. I mean, Kyrie is out, Jaylen Brown is out. You know, and so, of course, we've seen Scary Terry do work. Shane Larkin's minutes are going up, which is good. Marcus Smart, of course, out. Jason Tatum playing about 30 minutes a game, but really, really, really inconsistent. Al Horford seems to be exhausted, tired. He just doesn't have the production. It's been going through Marcus Morris. He's been getting a lot of usage. He showed up on the trends tool that Chris put up on 5x5, which is called Shot Chuckers, which is pretty sweet. It just tells you who is shooting more, like who has had a recent usage boost, an offensive usage boost, and Morris is popping on that trend tool. So he has been a guy. Abdel Nader continues to get about 20 minutes. Not that interested. I got to be honest with you. This feels like a bad spot for Boston. You know, bad spot on the road. They just got beat up by New Orleans. Now they have to come in and face a healthy OKC team at home. It does not feel like a good situation for them. And OKC's defense has been good, and they've been playing really well. I mean, the addition of Corey Brewer has helped them a lot. So I think I'm away from Boston for sure in this situation, leaning towards OKC, if anything. And you know, plenty of production. The floor is unbelievable right now for Paul George. We'll talk a little bit more about Russ, but yeah, I mean the floor for Paul George and Steven Adams has been really, really excellent of late. So those are two guys that I have my eye on in that matchup. Atlanta at the Jazz. Jazz are 13-point home favorites. This is a 207 total. You love the Jazz in this situation, obviously, especially, you know, maybe a little bit of this front court action, because we are going to see no Derek Favors. He is going to sit this one out, which is a good idea because, you know, they're going to win this game. They win all of their games, basically. They just don't lose. The Jazz don't lose. You know, everybody, Portland's win streak is so, so great. Well, don't mind the Jazz. They just can't lose. The rotation is very, very clear. And without Favors in the lineup, I have to think that there's going to be a little bit of extra run for Rudy, and Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, will slide into the starting lineup, which I don't necessarily know how that's going to affect his usage. That is interesting to me because Crowder has been playing off the bench a little bit more at the four alongside, you know, kind of alongside Favors at the five. How will it affect him to be on the same unit as Gobert and all those other guys? I'm not really completely sure, but he's been productive and he's relatively cheap. 30 minutes for him. He's had some really, really nice outcomes. Three of the last five have been over 28 fantasy points. So Jay Crowder seems, honestly, Jay Crowder needs to be in a system, right? He thrives in Boston. He thrives in Utah. What does that tell you? Well-coached system type teams, teams that have very clear roles and responsibilities, you know, where it's defense first and Stevens and what's his name? I can't anyway, as for the rest of these guys, Rubio on fire, just absolutely. So long as the, you know, this isn't a blowout, like Rubio is going to be in play like all the way down the stretch. It's all about price with him, though. Jingle Bear continues to be productive, too. He has an excellent floor. That's what you look at in Utah. Excellent floor, excellent matchup. It makes me nervous. Atlanta's just so bad. And as far as Atlanta, I'm not touching any of them here. But their prices are plummeting. I mean, and you're getting, you know, Dennis Schroeder at a discount here. And he's pretty much the only point guard that they have available. John Collins is not going to play. I don't know how Torian Prince scored 38 points the other night. He did. That's ridiculous. His usage has been through the roof. His production has been through the roof. Don't get it. Don't know what changed necessarily, but it is happening. It must be the no Kent Bazemore. Like, that's the only explicable thing, is that no Kent Bazemore has allowed Prince to just take off, which as soon as Bazemore went down, that's what you're seeing. I mean, in the last four games, he has been 56, 46, 40, 51. I have no idea how that happens. I have no idea. After he was so mediocre and quiet, like if he just all of a sudden is capable of scoring 38 points in a basketball game, where have you been? Like, what have you been doing? I guess you could have some interest in him just because of how he's been trending, but I can't do it. Detroit at Phoenix. No total in this one just yet. Of course, you got to think Detroit. Okay, no, sorry. Total just popped up. 110 to 104 here. We have a 214 total. Detroit only favored by 6. Why? Because they're bad. It's a bad basketball team. And it's hard to figure out where the production is going to come from, frankly. I mean, Reggie Bullock, Luke Kennard, and you want to get some of these guards in your life. Stanley Johnson, they can kind of all come in and out of the lineup. Luke Kennard feels sneaky here, but at the same time, you know, it probably has to be Reggie Bullock or Stanley Johnson, but how much do you trust these guys? Like, which one do you play? Because they can all completely flame out and give you 17 fantasy points or you know, flirt with 30. So hard to trust those Detroit wings, but you're probably going to be okay with them against Phoenix. Blake should be chalky. That's fine. You know, that's fine. Go to Blake. I have no problem with him, obviously, against Phoenix. Drummond, I don't necessarily know that you need to have some Drummond here because there's just so many other good spots for centers, you know, between Towns and Gobert and, I think Drummond is an interesting pivot. That's about it. Moving over to the Phoenix side of things, you know, right now I really want to be able to play Elfrid Payton in this matchup. Just can't do it. You just can't do it. You don't know where his minutes are going to be, what he's going to get as far as playing time. Devin Booker, he's questionable with a hand. He's got a hand sprain. This guy can't stay healthy right now. And I don't know what the deal with that is. You know, if he sits, you guys want to play Troy Daniels? Or do you want to play Shaq Harrison? Maybe it's Shaq Harrison, right? God, what a disaster. You know, it's like, it's just Josh Jackson is getting all the developmental minutes that he can handle. Fine. Okay. TJ Warren, he should get the usage bump as well. You know, those are the two guys that you probably feel comfortable with. And comfortable is a really strong word based on just the inconsistency of their outcomes. Because this team just doesn't, you know, they just don't have any semblance of order or consistency. So it's very hard to feel comfortable going to any of these guys, to be frank. So wait for the news on Booker, and then you can kind of consider some of the peripheral guys, even though Detroit is not that good at 1-3. I mean, Detroit's defense is not that good recently. There's been a couple spots to exploit. I just don't necessarily know who is going to play and how much they're going to play. That's the hard part. Moving over to the game of the night, the game du jour, if you will. 215 total in Portland. Rockets are favored by 5 on the road. Of course, Portland's win streak is on the line, and the Rockets are the best regular season team we've seen in a while. Well, not a while. Like, I guess the Warriors won, what, 70? Warriors broke some records a couple of years ago. Okay, all right, fine. But Portland, they've been playing phenomenal. CJ and Dame, the floor is just, it's 30 and 40, right? And it's been ridiculous for them. You know, what's hard to project for Portland is the front court. And frankly, you know, between Mo Harkless, Evan Turner, and then, you know, Aminu kind of was in the doghouse for a little while, but then bounced back and had a really nice outing against the Clippers. There's a lot to weigh and can consider on a nightly basis. Nurk anywhere between 18 and 30 minutes. It's unclear when he gets the run and when he doesn't. It's very strange to me. I never know when Nurk will or won't play. I will say he did not play more than 25 minutes last time against Houston. Ed Davis got a little bit of extra run in that situation. I don't necessarily know that you can go to the front court. I don't necessarily know that you have to. I think you go to the back court, you go to CJ and Dame, you feel comfortable with what they have been doing of late. On the Houston side of things, no serious injuries here. We know what this rotation looks like. We know who's going to play. They've been really productive of late. Yeah, as long as it's competitive. I mean, you just saw back-to-back relatively competitive Western Conference matchups. Okay, Minnesota and New Orleans over the weekend. Okay. What happens? Chris Paul goes for 40, James Harden goes for 60. They are trending towards playoff mode. Okay, Trevor Ariza right there, really, really productive. PJ Tucker and Bamute, they're basically a dead split now. And even with Ryan Anderson, he's getting a little bit of run, but not much. Capella's back at it, which is nice. You wonder if he was a little bit unhealthy. But he's back at it, above 30 minutes for him in the last three games, and the production to boot to come with that. So Capella could be an interesting pivot at center. We'll talk a little bit about him later. But this is the game that I think will be chalk. I think you want shares of this game because of the way that it could stay competitive. But I also don't have a problem concentrating on Minnesota-LA. I think that game is going to be competitive as well. It's got a nice tight spread and the highest total on the slate. I would probably try to get some of my peripheral pieces from Atlanta, Utah, and Detroit, Phoenix. But my primary core guys are going to come from these. And I don't mind the OKC Thunder game, but like the OKC Boston game, excuse me. That game could be very low scoring. Who, you know, we forget how good Oklahoma City's perimeter defense is. I mean, maybe you don't, but phenomenal perimeter defense. And if they are capable of taking away Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum, you know, if you force all the action through Marcus Morris and Al Horford's just been a shell of himself, and it's just because he's old. He's just wearing down, you know, late in the season. He just doesn't have the legs. This game could be relatively low scoring and uneventful. I mean, we saw New Orleans destroy them. You know, the defense is good, not great for Boston, especially with all these injuries. These guys are playing a lot of minutes. They don't necessarily have if they're not hitting shots, then they're going to struggle. So I think this game could be a little bit lower scoring than even anticipated. You know, a 208 total is pretty low, but it could be even lower than that. So something to think about. All right, let's go ahead and play a breakdown, figure out who we love.
Who do you love?
All right, starting at the top of the slate, of course, no surprise, it's Russ. He is 11-6 on FanDuel.com and similarly priced on DraftKings. And by similarly priced, I actually mean he's the exact same price. That's what I meant. Versus Boston, you like that he's kind of shown you the ceiling. It's back, right? We saw him blow up in a couple games here. But the range of outcomes has been anywhere between 75 and 45 points. So you do have to be careful. It's kind of, it seems like Russ is actually responding to the game and letting, you know, not forcing the issue in certain situations, but letting the game come to him, which, credit to him, they've been winning a couple games here. So that's a good thing. You know, the last three games against the Celtics have been solid for point guards. You know, Satoransky had a decent one. You guys are hitting their averages here a little bit more, not a huge bump, but it's not, again, you're seeing the gap in what the gap in their rotations without Brown and Smart, who add a lot to that perimeter defense. They're still a good defense. They're not a bad defense, but they're much more average, which is the way I would describe them. He's back in line with his season averages. Everything is there. It's 1.48 fantasy points per minute. The complicated part is you probably can't fit him in with James Harden or Anthony Davis. And I would suggest that given the matchup and the lower total, that Russ's floor is probably lower than both of those guys. Maybe it's not that his floor is lower. It's that the ceiling, I think, is much more limited against a team like Boston. And I do think that there's a possibility that this goes to the under. If Boston can't score, then OKC is going to be in the driver's seat, and you're not going to have the pressure on Russ to put up all of those points. And that's when he shows up, right? When the pressure mounts in the second half and they need offense. That's when he does it. You know, he did it. That's what he did in Toronto. That's what he did in Atlanta. When you look at those big games, you kind of follow the game script. That's what happens. So I feel comfortable with saying 50 here, but I don't necessarily think he has the same ceiling as Harden or even AD in this situation. So I'm okay staying away from him, but going to him as a pivot. If you want to be different, Damian Lillard versus Houston, 95-93 on DK. He's gone bananas against Houston here. I mean, he's done 48 and then he did one at 51, or he's averaged 48, excuse me. He did 51 and 46 in the other twice this year. Good to say. I mean, and I remember he didn't play once. I'm comfortable saying he should do the same. I think that's right. I mean, he's been on above pace recently versus his season averages, and we know that. I mean, he's been great in March, unbelievable since the All-Star break. 1.2 fantasy points per minute in the last five, some really big games against Detroit and Miami. The Miami one's impressive. If you're projecting this one to be a tight game, it's probably because Damian Lillard is scoring. That's the only – I mean, he's going to play like 38 minutes, you know. The issue that I have is that you look right across the slate at Chris Paul at 8,100 and you're like, well, if they're both going to play 35, 36 minutes, which Chris Paul has been in these last two games, you're kind of like, oh shit, you get a player at 1.2 fantasy points per minute or thereabouts, you know, it's hard to play Dame, at that price versus the other one. He does have a ceiling, though. We've seen it. It's over 50. He's been really good, of course. Just you don't necessarily think that it's the Sacramento smash type spot that it could be in, you know, like where he scores like 60 points. That's just not going to happen. Obviously, the guy that it could happen with is James Harden versus Portland. You know, I mean, Harden at 11-6, 11-2. I think he's going to be the chalk. I think with the total and the focus being on this game, I think that he should probably be the highest owned, high-priced player here. People know that he smashed here last time. He had 69 fantasy points. He's done it before, too. Like, he's had huge games here last year. He had huge games against this team. But the questioning remains, and it's interesting, AD and Harden and Russ all have the same question surrounding them is the range, right? They've been anywhere between 40 and 60, more or less, of late. I feel comfortable with Harden's floor, no doubt about it. 35-plus minutes, competitive game, good opponent. You should see him above 50. I think he probably is more likely to – I think he's likely to outscore Russ. I would probably put him above Russ in this situation. And I do think he has a little bit of a higher ceiling just because of the way that this game could play out down the stretch. You know, maybe I'm overreacting to Boston, but you really, like, losing by over 20 to New Orleans at home, that's complicated, right? That really kind of shows the limitations that this offense may have if without Kyrie and, you know, with a slowed down Al Horford. So that's kind of where I'm at with that comparison. So I think Harden for me over Russ in this situation. And I think he'll probably be one of the higher owned players on the slate. Small forward, there's not a lot here. I mean, Paul George is really the most interesting of the small forwards. And I you know, listen, you could talk me into Paul George for the floor right now. I mean, the man has been really, really consistent in what he's been doing. You know, and I think I probably, if I'm getting exposure to Thunder players, yeah, I think he's probably my priority just because of the price, the production, the high floor. That's where I would go with this. You know, at 8,276 on DK, I just love the return that you could get there. He's been averaging 34 fantasy points per game. He's averaged over a fantasy point per minute. And frankly, you know, the Wings versus Boston, you know, not necessarily a bad matchup. We've seen some really good performances. Otto Porter had a decent game. Hezonja, Moore. So definitely could be a nice night for Paul George here. I feel comfortable going to him at that price. Looking at power forward, obviously you got AD here versus Dallas. He's 12-3 on FanDuel, 11-5 and DraftKings. I rate him very similarly to what Russ and Harden. You feel comfortable with projecting averages above average, right? The matchup versus the centers versus Dallas, a good one. We've seen him perform here. He just had 57. That feels like a very solid projection for him today. It's not quite 5X at that FanDuel price tag of 12-3. But you would be okay with 57, right? You would be okay on this slate if you got 57 from Russ, if you got 57 from Harden, if you got 57 from AD. I think you're comfortable with that from any of them. And I certainly feel comfortable here getting 57 from AD. The one question I do have, you do worry that no Dennis Smith, you know, what does this offense look like for Dallas? I mean, Harrison Barnes' extra usage has been good, but you're dealing with Doug McDermott and Kyle Collinsworth. It's similar to Boston, right? If somehow the defense shows up and there's no way that, you know, there's no way that Dallas can get going, does AD have to put pressure on himself to score? They are favored here. You know, they just blew up Boston. They played really, really well there. I do think AD's floor is 45-50. Like, that's the worst case scenario, and I do think he'll probably get above 50. I feel comfortable with that. At that price, though, who has the greatest ceiling? That's really, really the biggest thing. Like, if you're going to pay for the same range of outcomes, I think you have to take the guy with the ceiling and the most projectable matchup, which sort of feels like Harden, right? Most competitive game, the opponent that is, you know, the most clear, and probably the game that puts the most pressure on that player, which matters. I mean, game script at this point matters. And if you hear me talking more about the way that these games play out, that's a little bit more of what I'm interested in, rather than, because when you're investing in these guys, you have to kind of take the long view of whether or not they get to the fourth quarter, right? It's all about the minutes. It's all about the role that they're going to play down the stretch. It's really not about the first, the second quarter. It's more about the fourth for me with all of these guys. So power forward, yeah, I like AD, no doubt about it. I think people will go to Blake here, so you're not going to get a lot of ownership on Anthony Davis, which makes him even more appealing. But no problem with him in this spot. Karl Anthony Towns at center, though, the trend is just ridiculous. There's been five big games against the Clippers. They just are not defending the center very well. DeAndre Jordan just isn't doing it. Steven Adams just destroyed them the other night. And here comes Karl Anthony Towns with the team on his back, though. He's had two duds against this team, and that you worry about. He had one smash. He had one nice 55-er. But he had two, like, 37, 36s, one of them with Jimmy. I think both of them with Jimmy. That makes sense to me. The issue is you're like, oh, well, without Jimmy, he should be getting a... He doesn't really get that much of a boost. I mean, he's 1.2 fantasy points per minute on the season. He's 1.2 fantasy points per minute in the last five. And you're kind of like, okay, for 1.2 fantasy points per minute, like... Chris Paul, Dame. It's hard to justify. Now, the other thing I will say, though, and especially when you have Drummond against Phoenix and you have Rudy Gobert against Atlanta, you love the ceiling for Towns based on the matchup trend, okay? I love Towns, period. So I like rostering him. I love the minutes consistency. I love the high floor. I think you're a minimum of 40 fantasy points here. So investing him in at center, it gives you some security at a somewhat insecure position. And below this range is hard. It's really easy to love the high price centers. The question is, if you pay up for your center, are you going to be able to get access to one of those high price point guards or maybe one of these high price shooting guards? And the answer is just no. And Paul George probably out of the question, right? So that's, you're compromising on the rest of your lineup by going there. Rudy Gobert versus Atlanta. Yes, you want Rudy Gobert versus Atlanta. He's been on fire. He's been destroying. The matchup continues to be a really, really good one. We have been attacking Atlanta at the center position all year. We should not stop now. It is the, it's actually not quite as good as far as efficiency plus minus as the Clippers matchup. That's actually the best matchup on the board. But it is a very good one. As far as FanDuel plus minus. Okay. So plus 2 points there. Definitely something that we want to get after it. And Gobert had a nice game. Remember, the Atlanta game was actually one of the first games where he had just come back from that injury, and he was kind of ramping up into the role that we're seeing him at now, where he's been, you know, at 1.2 fantasy points per minute, averaging 40 fantasy points over the last five games. And you know, that Atlanta game was earlier in January. It was his fourth game back. He came out and he had 34 fantasy points across 28 minutes. That's not going to get it done, right? He was at 1.2 fantasy points per minute, but he only played 28 minutes. And I can't remember if he was on a minutes limit at that point. It looks like that was the last game where he had a minutes limit. And he went out and did his double-double thing. The blocks are there. The blocks have been insane for him, over two in almost every single game in the last 10. So you're going to get those. The scoring has been good. It's been up, which has been part of why he's been so good. And then, you know, okay, no Derek Favors. Maybe he has to play a little bit extra run here. But he's been playing ridiculous minutes. I mean, 34 and 39 versus the Suns and the Kings. Like, is it because, you know, it's kind of a chicken or an egg thing when you see him and his production and his price? Is it the minutes? Because if for some reason he only gets 32 minutes here because Atlanta just can't keep up and they're in the driver's seat the whole time, whatever the case may be, maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he maybe he doesn't get up there towards 50. And he hasn't broken 50, even though the price is over 10K. So Gobert, to me, pivot play, right? It's a pivot play away from Towns or Drummond in that spot. And Drummond is fine. He just hasn't been scoring much. He just hasn't. And it's a great spot as far as efficiency plus minus. Obviously, you go there, no doubt about it. It's just he just hasn't been scoring very much. And so you kind of worry about that. You know, the usage just hasn't been there for him. Moving on, at the Grout here, talking about guys who are 9K and below point guard position, you got to love Chris Paul at 8,100. He's just cheap. He's just really cheap. It's hard to avoid Chris Paul when he's almost 7K. Like, you just... He's been over a fantasy point per minute with the peripherals in line. The minutes are there. The usage is there. He just hit over 40 in his last two games. Competitive Western Conference game? Check. You're going to get Chris Paul producing down the stretch. That's what you need, right? 26% usage rate in those games, which is nice. He smashed here, too. He had 43 in one and then 68 in the other. Like, it's not a perfect matchup as far as plus minus or all that kind of stuff. Don't care. I mean, he's proven that this isn't really a thing for him. Now, the 68, Chris Paul wasn't there. Or excuse me, I believe that was game James Harden was out, the 43 with Harden. I like this spot. I do. I really do. I have no problem with Chris Paul. He's a guy that I would prioritize. And the funny thing is he's right there priced with another guy that I'm absolutely in love with, which is Rubio. It's been one of the best spots on the board to play point guards versus Atlanta in the last 10. Six big games there. He's shown a very high floor of 30-plus. We've seen him very, very consistent of late, no doubt about it. He had a total dud last time out in that game where we were just talking about in January. 14 fantasy points. You know, it was a terrible game. Like, it was like, you know, 87, you know, I think the final score was like, you know, 97 to 84. Like, just absolute, you know, clunker. You do worry about the blowout. Because if Rubio's not on the floor, which he may not have to be, you're not going to get above 40 fantasy points. If he's on the floor, you're going to get it. But you do worry about the blowout a little bit. So something to be concerned about there. Now, the point guard situation in Dallas is absolutely something that we're going to want to take advantage of. And I think that a lot of people will go there for value on tonight's slate. And, you know, that makes good sense. No doubt about it. I think you can absolutely go to JJ Barea at 6K. And I think you can absolutely go to Yogi Ferrell as well. Okay, and I don't have a problem with either of them. If Barea is going to play more minutes, he just hasn't played the minutes, but he's been ridiculously efficient, right? That's the thing. At 6K, I think I'm probably, I don't have to have him, but you do know that the production is going to be there, the minutes are going to be there, and the matchup is going to be there. So Barea, to me, is I think he's going to be very popular. How much Barea do I want? I don't know. You know, I don't really know how much Barea I want, especially when you have Yogi at 49. It just doesn't really make sense. And Yogi's playing 30 minutes. I think Yogi will probably be more popular than Barea, but, you know, strangely, if you want to be weird, play them both. And get that value there and just kind of hedge, right? And that makes sense. That's not a bad idea. At shooting guard, Drew versus Dallas, like I mentioned this, people just, you know, the price has come up. It's going to push people off of Drew. That makes good sense. But if you're going for a more contrarian balanced lineup, which is a very interesting way to go, you know, Drew, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, one of the centers, you know, one of the high-priced centers, maybe you do that. Paul George, I think that's a unique and interesting approach to tonight's slate. You go away from the high price studs and just say they're all going to score 50 and no one's going to have a ceiling. Okay, interesting. I like that. But Drew at 9K, that's not actually a bad price. You know, the season long average tells you he's only been at 37 and he just had a dud against Boston, even though they blew them out. He only played 27 minutes. But the man has been destroying. If he plays the minutes, he will score the fantasy points. And we just saw this game against Dallas not long ago, and he went out and he put up a nice 32 minutes, 43 fantasy points with 30 raw points. 30 raw points. That tells you something. They can't guard him. They can't guard him. And he did not contribute any peripheral stats. So if you're saying, like, listen, dude is going to score 25, 20 raw fantasy points, and you add maybe some blocks or a steal here and there, it's really pretty appealing way to go to be different. People aren't going to play Drew Holiday at 9K. They're just not going to do it. They're going to go, if you're going to pay that much for a shooting guard, you're probably going to end up with James Harden, right? I mean, if you're going to pay top dollar for a shooting guard on this slate, you're probably going to pay for James Harden. Donnie Mitch is interesting. It's a high price and a potential blowout. I think I'm okay walking away from him in the same way that I am, and Gobert. I don't know. I love CJ McCollum in this situation, and I don't mind Lou Williams. Lou had just kind of been killing me. Like, I was all over him in that Houston game, and it just, killed me there. But we saw a really nice line from him here against Portland recently. You know, he's back into the scoring. The minutes are there. They have not dropped below 34 minutes recently. So Lou with the ceiling that he offers at 7,100, no issue with him whatsoever. Wiggins, though, on the opposite side, we've been attacking the Clippers at the shooting guard at the wing for the whole season, more or less. So no issue with going to that either. The question, again, becomes roster construction. Do you go to these mid-price guys like a CJ McCollum even, in a competitive game? You know he's going to play a lot, even though the matchup isn't good. Do you go to these mid-range guys when you have Detroit versus Phoenix, right? That's hard, and you can get the value there. But, those guys are, with the exception of Kennard, they're listed as small forwards. So no issue with Lou. Drew, Wiggins, and McCollum. I think that they all fit. If I had to order them, obviously Drew, but he's the priciest. Let me order the 1, 2, 3 of Lou, CJ, and Wiggins. It's probably CJ, Lou, Wiggins, just in price order, right? CJ, Lou, Wiggins. CJ because of the floor, and the minutes are not going to change from like 38. The floor is there, and it's going to be the highest scoring game. Lou, matchup with Wiggins, and Wiggins just doesn't do peripherals, so you worry about that. That's where I'm at there. At small forward, Torian Prince is a real son of a bitch. I'm not going to play him versus Utah. It's a perfectly fine fade. I think everybody will fade him. And the way he's been producing, I don't know what to do with. I don't know how to wrap my head around it. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I can't explain it. I don't necessarily want to play it versus Utah. They'll probably figure out how to slow him down. And the usage, though, is just immense. So even with the slowed down matchup, does the usage rate stay up there for Prince? Probably not. I would think it's going to be a bad game. I think that's going to be a pretty rough game for them. So you go down, and I have no issue going to the opposite, right? Go to Joe Ingles and Harrison Barnes. Frankly, it's Harrison Barnes at 6,500. It's just too cheap. That's just too cheap for a guy who's going to be the primary handler, one of the primary scorers in this matchup against New Orleans. And huge usage rate in the last two games that he played. He sat out in that Nets game because he's been putting the team on his back. 38 fantasy points versus Toronto and New York across almost 40 minutes in that Toronto game, scoring some of the season highs and not contributing any peripheral stats, but he had a really nice outing in those two games. Listen, he played New Orleans not long ago. He had 30 minutes. He had about a fantasy point per minute. If you're going to give me just a baseline of a fantasy point per minute, which he will because of the usage bump without Dennis Smith, definitely interested in Harrison Barnes. I think he will be a chalky piece in cash game lineups just because of the ability to attack the wing against New Orleans. So no doubt about that. Nemanja Bjelica, I like attacking the Clippers on the wing as well. He is probably going to go a little bit overlooked on this slate, but at 6,100, you feel comfortable with the minutes. You know he has a ceiling. The floor is there. Of course the floor is there. Against a team like San Antonio, the floor is going to be a real big problem for a guy like this who, you know, is thrust into a role. But, like, dude, 40 minutes of Bealitza against the Clippers? Like, yeah. Yes. Yes, I want that. He played 34 against them earlier and scored 34 fantasy points. You know, that was in January when Jimmy was out for that stretch. So no question that Bealitza is in a good position. I think that at small forward, you could feel very comfortable with those two 6K guys in your lineup, no doubt about it. You know, and everybody's going to gravitate towards Reggie Bullock versus Phoenix. And yes, okay. I just hate these Detroit wings. Like, I would much rather have Nemanja Bjelica in my lineup. At power forward, there's not a lot that I like. Obviously, Blake, 8,600. If you can fit him in that balanced lineup that you want to do, fine. He's been, you know, up and down, up and down. You know, that's the only way you can describe it. But the matchup is there, and there should be no doubt that he will have the ability to score. He's playing 36 minutes a night because his team is just holding on for dear life, seeing if they can find a way into an 8 seed. I don't think you have to have him. You know, you need 45 from him here. Very, very possible. But I don't think you have to have him, especially considering a guy like Marcus Morris is going to be a primary usage guy against, you know, Carmelo. You know, I have no issue going to Marcus Morris in this situation, the way that he has been producing, you know, the minutes just, he has to play the 30 minutes, and he has to score because they just don't have a lot of other guys who are capable of doing it. And you can see, his usage bump and his shots, you know, his field goal attempts are just up and up and up. The rest of it, it's in the value range, and I have no problem going down, way down here into the value range to find some names that you wouldn't expect down below 5,500. And I think that's probably where I will concentrate a lot of my power forward ownership this evening. At the center position, I like Clint Capela here. Nurk has given up a couple big games. I think this could be one of them. This is the kind of game where, you know, maybe Nurk gets himself into a little bit of foul trouble. The pick and roll is, I just think that Capela could have a nice one here. He struggled in the last two games that they played. I want to like Clint Capela is what you're hearing. Do you have to go to him? No, because the range of outcomes is such a pain in the ass with him right now. You put him in good matchups and he doesn't do anything, and you put him in, you know, harder matchups and, you know, he's phenomenal. You know, but he's always in play because he has a 50-point ceiling and his price is never that high, but because the floor is a problem. Steven Adams is interesting to me as well. I mean, he's been ridiculous in his last two, you know, and really, really, really productive. I don't necessarily get scared of the Boston interior. You know, they're a good defense. It's a little bit of a pace down situation, a lower total, but I have no problem if he's kind of like the last piece that you have in your lineup. And that's about it for me. Part of me wants to like DJ, but I can't really comfortably say that that's a good idea. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the bargain basement, 5,500 and below. You heard me allude to Yogi Ferrell at the point guard position on FanDuel. He is 4,900. I think on both platforms, he is a worthy investment, over 30 minutes in both of the last two games. He's going to have to play. He's been reliable. He hasn't even shot that well. So you could get a nice performance from Yogi. I think he will be one of the value chalk picks and not bad chalk. I want to love Elf here. I'm not going to lie. Point guards versus Detroit has been a thing. I don't know why Elf is losing minutes. I don't know if it's the same thing. Is it the same problem he had in Orlando? Like, he just isn't reliable? Do they want to check somebody else out? I have no idea. kind of correlates with whether or not Devin Booker plays. Like, I want to like this matchup, and I love the price because this guy has a ridiculous ceiling. How many other players in the last 10 games have a 53 fantasy point performance and a 4 fantasy point performance? Like, it's just so strange to me. I don't necessarily know what to do with it, but it's interesting. I think it's only in tournaments. That's all you could possibly do with that. And that's about it. I mean, you have this kind of middling range of Schroeder through Rondo, which, okay. Not that interested. I don't mind it, but I don't love it. At shooting guard, listen, it's my boy Eric Gordon. He had a great game against the Clippers, and I loved that spot for him. Coming off the bench here, he had a big one, one big one against Portland earlier this year, where he started. Obviously, without Harden or Paul in the lineup, I can't remember who it was. He's a useful player, and the price, I think, is good. People just they don't play him. I think he's a really interesting tournament play, but it's hard to go away from a guy like, you know, Luke Kennard, who's been playing some minutes versus Phoenix, and Troy Daniels. If Devin Booker does not play, Troy Daniels has been playing a lot at 3,800. He absolutely is in play. Eric Gordon is in the same role that Jamal Crawford was in. You know, coming off the bench here against the Clippers, Crawford could be an interesting play. You know, he did not play the last time out in January, but you have him against this bench unit of the Clippers, who have struggled with wings anyway against Lou. Like, revenge narrative, 3,600. I think he's an interesting tournament play. At small forward, 5,500 and below, is the same names that we've seen. You know, I mean, Bullock and Ariza, I think, are interesting. You guys have heard me. The wings, they're in a phenomenal spot. Yes, Reggie Bullock could get it done. I think people will love him. He's chalky. I think he'll pop in models, and people will feel comfortable saying, you know, 5X. Fine. Yeah, okay. I could see it. I just don't trust him. You know, and I don't trust him. You know, if Blake has a big game or whatever the case may be, it's probably Kennard that goes, you know, gets some good second unit type run. But Ariza is interesting at 5K. You know, he's going to play 30 minutes. Like, he's a nice floor play, as well as Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer has been playing a ton of minutes. And you know, massive night on Saturday. But again, what the Clippers, right? That's the common denominator, shooting guards versus the Clippers. So Wiggins and Crawford become interesting as well. I'm not touching PJ Tucker and Mo Harkless and those clowns. I don't really necessarily love that. I would much prefer to go up. If Stanley Johnson is too cheap, then that's frustrating. And I think he'll be chalky because of that. So welcome to the chalk. That is, there's one of them. At the power forward position, I mentioned how much I like this range. It's just a lot of really reliable scorers and starters down here that you can put into your lineup. Nico at 5,500. Yep. No problem with him. He's not been playing a ton, but like we know what the ceiling is. And like he played in this Dallas game last time out and he had 35. Like they can't guard him. So Nico is a guy in this range that has a ceiling that I'm interested in, as long as he gets the minutes. Jay Crowder is another guy with no Derek Favors. He's probably going to start. I think he's absolutely an interesting potential play. Taj, 5,300 for Taj. It's a good price. He has not been playing well, but these last two games are the first time that happened. You know, and that's a really, really good price for a guy who usually has a very, very high floor and had 34 versus the Clippers last time out here. So something to think about. You just wonder if he has his legs right now. I mean, he's a little bit older. You wonder if he has his legs. Dwight Powell, nah, I can't, yes, the price, no, the Dwight Powell, right? Like, that's what you think of when you go to Dwight Powell, and no to the Mavericks. yes to the price, no to the Mavericks. He only had 19 here last time out in 23 minutes because he probably can't guard Anthony Davis. So how much is he going to play? Yeah, Ed Davis will play, by the way. Ed Davis is going to play in this Houston game. He's going to play 20 minutes. If you really, really need him, I think 20 minutes of Ed Davis is fine. Its ceiling is 20 fantasy points. That's the ceiling for Ed Davis right now. At center, I actually kind of like Dwayne Dedmon, strangely enough. I know that sounds really weird, but, you know, there have been some big games versus the center position, and he had a fantasy point per minute last time out against Gobert. Like, I think that's interesting. I think that's interesting. He's cheap. No one's going to play him. If you love a tournament lineup, I think he's interesting. Greg Monroe has been playing 25 minutes off the bench and scoring. He's their second unit offense for this team. Yeah, that's it though. And that's why center is just so tilting right now, because which is why I think a lot of people are going to pay up. You're almost forced into going to Adams as a floor here. And because there's just such a lack below that. All right, let's go over to FanDuel and throw together a quick lineup. I'm going to start with, some chalky pieces, that I feel like are worth having here. I'm going to go to Yogi Ferrell, my guess is Stanley Johnson, will also be chalky. In 3,900, you're just pissed that he's so cheap, because I don't want to play him, but he's just too cheap. Harrison Barnes, he's another guy that I like at 6,500. Again, this is a little bit more cash focused. I'm going to hold off on center, but I'm going to try to, know that I have to save there. At shooting guard, I think, let's go to Harden, and then one of these 72, the Lou, CJ, or Andrew Wiggins, right? And we'll see which one. I'll play Wiggins just to try to give myself a little bit of wiggle room as we build here, and maybe I can fall into someone else. Power forward, I have two nice options here. I think, I can go to Jay Crowder and Nico, right? I mean, let's see what that does for us. And then I have 7,700, and I need a point guard and a center. Now, there's a couple ways that I can do this. I can do Chris Paul and Steven Adams, which is fine. That's nice. A little bit of balance there. I'm okay with that. I can go Towns and Ish Smith was almost there. You can't go Towns and Ish. You can go Towns, or excuse me, you can go to Gobert and Ish, which is not perfect. Or you could downgrade Jay Crowder to Taj, right? You could downgrade Jay Crowder to Taj, and then you could go with Ish and Ish Smith at 5K, I completely forgot to mention. He's going to be the starting point guard versus the Phoenix Suns. So, yeah, obviously. So this is an interesting lineup here. Let's look at this one. So this is Yogi Ferrell, Ish Smith, James Harden, Andrew Wiggins, Stanley Johnson, Harrison Barnes, Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic, Karl Anthony Towns. And that's because you don't necessarily have the flexibility to go to a different center. Now, if you go to Steven Adams, which I don't mind, just the way that he's been playing, you can do Chris Paul and Steven Adams, and maybe you have a little bit of a higher floor there. But it's hard to think that Ish Smith isn't productive unless Reggie Jackson returns, which he's going to do at some point this week. So Yogi Ferrell, Chris Paul, James Harden,
Andrew Wiggins, Stanley Johnson, Harrison Barnes, Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic, Steven Adams, and that Taj Gibson can become Jay Crowder at that point. But let's try a little bit more of a balanced approach where I get off of Harden and I go down to a CJ McCollum. And then I take my Stanley Johnson money and I go up to Paul George. Now, this is a relatively interesting lineup too, right? Yogi Ferrell, Chris Paul, CJ McCollum, Andrew Wiggins, Paul George, Harrison Barnes, Taj Gibson, Nico Mirotic, Steven Adams. Like, that's kind of an interesting way to go about this slate as well. You're going to have to play some of this Detroit value. And I think if you hammer the Detroit value, like, you're probably in the right direction just because Phoenix is so bad, And I think that you can absolutely play Ish Smith and you can play Reggie Bullock and you can play Stanley Johnson. You could even play Luke Kennard if you want to get real crafty. Other than that, I'm concentrating on these high totals. I'm concentrating on the Clippers and the Wolves, and I'm concentrating on Houston, Portland, and Dallas, New Orleans is appealing, just because I think that there's price plays there, right? So, a lot of ways to go tonight. Guys, good luck. I will catch up with you tomorrow.